Great to have you all back with us. 877-326-3255 is our number. 877-3-COFALL, C-O-F-A-L-L. And we shortchanged our next guest last week. He's been the most consistent, reliable, entertaining, informative, and valuable guest we have on this show. And somehow last week, his normal spot just disappeared. The first week of the Dan Kofal Show. We are, however, proud and pleased and humbled to have his Highness's return. The creme de la creme, the Mogambo Guru, is with us right now. Richard Dowdy, how are you, buddy?
Well, I am just fine and feeling better after that fabulous introduction. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you back on, my friend, and no better time to have you. By the way, I got to tell everybody that you have made your bones over the years by being precisely correct and being cynical and humorous at the same time. You have some of the most witty and pithy writings there are, and we publish them whenever you grace us with a new version, which I'm sure a new one, which is coming out very soon. So
very soon, yeah. Working on it today, as a matter of fact.
There you go, brother. And you have been right on the money about precious metals since the early part of this century, the trade of the decade. Was that what it is? Sell equities, buy gold. And you know, people are out there. The reason I'm building up to this, I want to make sure people understand who you are, but why I value your opinion so much. Right now, there are people saying, "Gee whiz, Dan, we've heard you over the years say gold's a good thing to do, but gold's now down at $1,400 an ounce, and we got in at $15 or $16 or $17 or $18. And I try to tell people, it isn't about the moment in time; it's about the movie. It's not about the snapshot.
I know how they feel. I mean, when I first started getting into gold because I saw what was going on, every time I bought, the next month when I went to buy more, it was less. Every month after month, a couple of years, and finally, I was just feeling so stupid. I just kept reading things and seeing, where did I make my mistake? And of course, I turned out to be right, just like I'm going to turn out to be right this time. This is the biggest buying opportunity you'll ever see in gold and silver. It's like it's taking candy from a baby almost. I mean, it's a terrible thing to do, but you end up with the candy.
And you saw what happened over the weekend. A Belgian bank failed to clear. Now, failed to clear is a new expression, folks, an old expression, but one you need to get used to. It is when a bank cannot deliver, when anybody cannot deliver in a contract. And this bank said, we're 10% short on our gold inventory. Therefore, we cannot satiate the contracts that are being presented to us. We don't have the gold. That means they have to go get the gold from somebody. And if you don't have something and you got to get it from somebody who does, you're going to pay ever-increasing prices moment by moment by moment because they know they have you over a barrel. But the failure to settle is a big deal, isn't it?
It is a very big deal. I think, you know, as big a deal as that is, well, they're going to pay all those guys off in cash.
Oh, that's good.
They're not actually going to lose anything. The incredible part to me was that so many people are going to the bank and demanding their gold, that they can't do this fractional gold reserve thing anymore. People are just showing up in droves, apparently, and suddenly demanding their gold, physical gold. That's the incredible part to me. People are waking, the people with money, people who have been putting gold away, they're getting scared. But they've been right about this thing, and so I assume they're going to be right about this thing, too.
Yeah, and the idea, it's not fanciful to say that lots of people who had settled for paper gold in the past are now saying, well, now, wait a minute. I only need to know that a couple banks can't deliver. This is not the first bank that said we can't settle. This is now, what is it, the third or the fourth bank in the last week that says we can't settle. We don't have the gold. That's a problem. Well, if you believe that you're holding an asset that is a tangible, intrinsically valued asset, not just a piece of paper.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is that several years ago, a guy went to the bank to get his gold sold and couldn't have it. He sued the bank. It turns out that the gold was never there. The bank took the money for the gold. They kept the money, invested in other things, told the guy they'd bought the gold, and charged him storage fees on the fictional gold. And when it got to court, they said that this is common industry practice.
I thought you were... I thought you were going to give me the punchline that that was America in 1971 when France came over to get their gold. I thought that was the punchline.
Well, you know, Mark Twain said a history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme, and there you go. It rhymes.
That's right, and the United States has defaulted before 1971 when France said, we want to trade paper dollars for gold. You promised us we could, and Nixon said, no, you can't. But it's becoming, you know, it's becoming more clear to me, I know it's been clear to you for a long time, that it's not a lack of desire for Nixon to have cleared those trades. He couldn't do it. I don't believe he had the gold to do it with.
Well, France, to be fair, France had been steadily draining us of gold for a long, long time. De Gaulle had declared that the privilege of printing our own money was just too much to bear, and so they had been redeeming U.S. dollars for gold, and they finally got to the point they just couldn't do it anymore. And that's when he defaulted in 71.
Yeah, but that was part of the deal we made. We said, if you accept our dollars are convertible into gold, and that was part of the deal.
That was the Bretton Woods deal. That was the deal, all right. But, you know, they all got together and decided, you know, we're all going to be in trouble here if we're going to keep this up. So they all agreed to go along with the scam, not make a big stink about it.
You know what this reminds me of, Magambo? You remember back in the late 80s and the early 90s of the savings and loan crisis here in the south part of the United States, and specifically in Texas. And I remember it vividly when the savings and loan regulators would come out and they would announce that they were going to come to a bank on Wednesday. They would give the bank plenty of time to move their bad loans to another bank. And there were only three or four regulators at the time, so they kept moving the bad loans. But finally one day, they couldn't move it anymore. Somebody wouldn't, I don't remember exactly what happened. They wouldn't take the loans. They wouldn't give the loans. And they were caught holding this bad paper, and then the entire kiting scheme collapsed. And it looks that way with gold, because they're going to be able to, the major banks and major institutions are going to be able to cover this for a while by moving and trading and trading and moving and saying, no, that's really not mine, it's yours today. But it's happening in real time. We're seeing people own up to the fact that people won't give me, as a bank, enough gold to cover my claims. And when that happens, all the banks are at risk.
It tends to color your perception of the safety of your own bank when the one next door does that kind of silly crap, knowing that it's industry standard practice.
Isn't that amazing?
To be fair, that's it. The whole thing is built on, you've got to create money, more and more money all the time to have a growing economy. And that's what they've been doing for a half of a century now, is trying to grow. It's keeping this thing going is really important, and gold going up is not going to fit into their plan. And you know, the what occurs to me is, what if you were the Chinese? You're holding a lot of U.S. debt,
right?
Trillion dollars worth. What would stop? And they want gold. So I think it's smart of them to go to the U.S. government and say, hey, look, you guys, I want you to allow all the manipulation and encourage it in the gold market to keep the price down, or we're going to dump all these dollars and bonds on the market and drive their prices down into the toilet, and thus their interest rates up. So the government would have, as they seem to be doing, manipulating the market and allowing the insane amounts of corruption on the futures exchanges that makes all this craziness possible. Nobody's regulated. Nobody can look at it even. I mean, it's so obvious, and Ted Butler's been on these guys for years.
Tell everybody who Ted Butler is.
They won't even look into it, for crying out loud. I mean, what kind of corruption do you call that?
Tell folks who Ted Butler is, Magambo.
Oh, Ted Butler is one of the guys that really looks into the silver market. He's been in it for 20, 30 years now, and there's nothing about the silver market he doesn't know. And he's really got the case of the jaws about the CFTC and CME and the COMEX and NYMEX and all those guys colluding, apparently, to manipulate the price of gold down via the gigantic selling of paper futures on gold and silver, particularly silver. I mean, we rail about gold all we want, but silver, as Ted Butler has pointed out lots of times, silver is the one where the corruption, they've already sold times, 100%, 600% as much gold as exists in the up above ground or something. Insane amounts of leverage.
Sure.
No, they can't. Nobody can deliver. They all been doing this for years and years and years. And you let this thing go down, man, it's going to be a lot of money lost and a lot of people mad and a lot of lawsuits and a lot of people looking at all kinds of things.
Well, and I think what you're seeing too is I covered this in the opening segment is that you have the BRIC countries or the BRICS countries, including South Africa. They are all trading among themselves. They've just added New Zealand to their gaggle. I would be doing the same thing. They're not using dollars. They are all gold rich countries, with the exception of Brazil. It has gold, but they don't have as much as China or Russia do. But the countries that are in this little BRICS alliance are the gold holders of the world, and they're accumulating more. I see the plan developing right in front of our very eyes for a gold-backed currency, whether it's the yuan or the ruble or some new combination that will absolutely devastate the dollar, and people will flee from the dollar. And if you want to see inflation, wait till you see those waves of dollars coming back into this country to buy anything and everything they can possibly buy before the currency becomes worthless.
That's right. That's exactly. Even Keynes himself admitted that gigantically increasing the money supply will cause inflation. The only reason we have Keynesianism because he thought unemployment was worse than inflation. So that's why I have Keynesian, whereas the Austrians said, no, inflation is the worst of all things.
Well, it is, especially when most Americans, let's say our age, they remember inflation in the past. They remember recessions where after a recession, there was a wave of rehiring and a wave of new employment and a wave of raises and increases to paychecks because people had gone without for a year or two or three or four. And there was a wave of pent-up demand. There's no pent-up demand. There's no such thing as pent-up demand right now.
Well, also during those times, Schumpeter's creative destruction was going on. All kinds of buildings and companies were going bust, and all kinds of resources were freed up in the market, and bad investments were written off. And there wasn't the government rushing in to bail everybody out. So you had that creative destruction going on, too. And so, yeah, it worked out so perfectly well. I don't know why we don't do it. The Chinese are now doing it. In fact, that's the subject of my the next Ogambo Guru newsletter is, that that's what the Chinese Li has said they're going to do. They're going to let the market forces work it out. So exactly what you're supposed to do. And so, man, I'm telling you, this is kind of exciting news. I mean, then that would explain why they're buying so much gold. They're going to have a gold-backed currency, just like you surmised.
You bet. I can't, you know, I understand there's lots of ways to see a problem. I understand the most obvious is not always the most obvious, but in this particular case, I don't think this is obvious to the majority of people. I think it's obvious to gold nerds like you and me and central bank nerds like you and me. And I want it to be more obvious to our listeners because it seems to be a story that's sitting right in front of us that doesn't take a lot of imagination to see it unfolding.
Well, you know, not just you and me and other Austrian economists, but it's historians. This is the same thing that's been going on for thousands of years. There's hundreds and thousands of examples of one government after another acting like a bunch of idiots and spending themselves into bankruptcy. And they tried everything, just like we're trying everything, and it failed every time, and gold and silver reign predominant. Every time!
Yeah,
people aren't buying it.
Yeah, there's
there's
no exception in the last 5,000 years to what you just said. Not one.
Not one.
Not one. I'll go with that. That's a safe bet for me. That's much better than playing the NCAA tournaments. I'm with that. Ogambo Guru, you are my favorite, my friend. Richard Dowdy. And you can find him out at MogamboGuru.com. And you can also find him on our website, DanKofal.com. We will see you again real soon, Ogambo.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Bye-bye.
God bless. We'll be right back.